And I want you to have it handy. There's going to be some passages from time to time that I'm going to be taking you to. But basically, this evening, I want to go through the last week of the Lord's mortal life here on this earth before his crucifixion and his resurrection, and share with you some of the things that transpired that maybe you're not familiar with. Many of you know I've been doing a lot of study and research into Islam and into Arab culture and Arab things that take part in the Arab ways. And there's a lot that the Arabs do that are also involved the way that Jews observe their feast and holidays. And you know, after all, they both come from Abraham. Abraham brought us Isaac, and Isaac brings us the Jewish nation. But also from Abraham, we had Ishmael, and Ishmael brought us the Arab nations. And so I've been doing a lot of reading and studying in field. And also it's kind of brought me into some of the rabbinical writings and Talmudic writings and so on, the way that the Jews observe some of these feasts and holidays in the Old Testament. And so some of this information I'm going to be sharing with you comes from some of that knowledge and studies that I have done. Now, in the Bible, we find in Exodus chapter 12, if you want to go ahead and turn there, in Exodus chapter 12, we find that in verse number 3, now, I'm only going to be surface picking some verses here just quickly because I'm just kind of running through a lot of this information, and I don't want to get too stuck down in some of the details here. But what we find, the first day, or rather the first month of the year for the Jewish calendar would have been Aviv. Now later they started calling it Nisan after the Israelites were taken into captivity. And during the return years, we see a change of the calling of the month of Aviv to the month of Nisan. And the first month of their year would have been close to our month of April. After all, that's the beginning of life. Spring is the beginning of new life. We here in the West, we start our year, the beginning of our year is in the dead of winter. Well, winter is a picture of death, but the Jewish calendar brings it to the beginning of their year at the beginning of life as new life is beginning. And on the 10th day of the first month, we find there in Exodus chapter 12 that the children of Israel were instructed in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb. And drop down to verse 6, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. So you're to select a lamb, and this is the lamb that you're going to a sacrifice for the Passover. We're given instructions in the following verses that it's to be spotless, without blemish, and the best there. You're not to bring to God your leftovers and maim and animals that aren't likely going to be healthy. No, you want to bring God your best. And so they would select that lamb and bring them into their home for the keeping in their home for 4 days for inspection. Now, this is important because that we understand this knowledge. So on the 10th day of the month is when they go out to select the Pascha lamb, the lamb for the Passover. Well, on the year that Jesus Christ is to be crucified, it was a tradition that was done by the rabbinical writings of the Talmuds and the Mishnahs, the six volumes of the Mishnahs, and different things started getting adapted to God's law. God simply said, bring the lamb in for 4 days into your house for inspection. Well, the priest of Israel started making this into a big thing, a big event. And so on the 10th day of Pascha, the priest would have an entourage with him, and they would go out of the Damascus gate to the north, make their way around to Bethlehem. Now, Bethlehem is where the best of the best lambs were kept. This is where the lambs would be prepared for the temple sacrificing. So he would make his way out of the Damascus gate and make his way over to Bethlehem and select a few lambs so that they made sure that they had the best of the best. Meanwhile, the people of the city in Jerusalem, which was packed with travelers that had come for the celebration of Passover, it was the Jubilee year, and on the seventh year, usually, you have a bigger crowd, and the neighboring towns were all choked with visitors. And so, as the priest leaves and goes into the countryside towards Bethlehem to find the Paschal lamb, the people of the city would come, and they would line the streets all the way down to the temple, and they would bring with them palm tree branches. And when the high priest would return with the Passover lamb, they would all cry out, "Hosanna to God in the highest. Hosanna, praise be to God." And so they would celebrate the coming of the Passover lamb. Well, this time on this year, as the high priest had left and the people assembled and prepared their way to line the streets for the Passover lamb, on this particular year, Jesus Christ comes riding on a colt. And remember what John the Baptist had said when he saw Jesus and when he was about to baptize him, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the earth." And the people of Jerusalem recognized Jesus as the Passover lamb. And as he comes into the city, the people began to wave their branches and cry out, "Hosanna to God in the highest, and peace on earth." And so as Jesus came through, the people of Jerusalem that year recognized Jesus as the Passover lamb. This was the 10th day. And so for the next 4 days, the lamb is to be inspected. And Jesus, for 4 days, was being inspected and tested and tried and questioned by the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Herodians and the scribes and the high priest. And they were quizzing Jesus with multiple questions during those 4 days of his last week here in his mortal life on earth. Then on the 14th day, we have instructed for us in the scriptures, we have the day of leavened bread. And by the way, this whole period of time is the beginning of what we call the Passover week of celebration. It isn't just a one-day event. This is pretty much a whole week event. Some people would come into Jerusalem for that trip because some of these celebrations would go on for 50 days all the way to Pentecost. Some would stay for just 1 week. Some would stay for a few days. Some would stay for the full 50 days. But we find also that Jesus, on the 14th day, came there, and he took his disciples, and they entered into the upper room. And I'm trying to find my notes here, and I've got all this turned around, and I've been speaking without following my notes here this evening. So I'm getting ahead of myself here. So bear with me a moment there. And here we go. Take your Bible, if you would, and join me in Exodus chapter 12 and verse number 18. Exodus chapter 12, verse 18. We read what was supposed to happen on the 10th day. You're to take your lamb and to bring him in and keep him for 4 days. Look at verse number 18. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until one of the 20th day of the month at even. So from the 14th day to the 21st day, that's a week period of time. So for a full week, they were only to be eating unleavened bread. And we find Jesus brings his disciples into the upper room, and there he washes their feet, and he shows them the great a great example of true leadership, which is humble leadership. And there Jesus took the bread and he broke it and said to them, "Take, eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you." And he's telling them of what's about to happen, the immense suffering that Jesus is about to endure is coming real soon. And he says that one of you is going to betray me. They all said, is it I? Is it me? They couldn't even recognize that Judas was an unbeliever. I'm here to tell you today that people who are false converts, they can talk the talk, they can walk the walk, but it doesn't mean that they're true believers in Jesus Christ. And Judas, we find that he wasn't a saved man. He was there for whatever reason. He probably believed in Jesus as a great man, as a great leader, but he didn't accept him as his personal savior. And Judas was there about to betray the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord is going to spend an evening being interrogated and in court and being falsely accused of things that he had not done. But finally, they did find him something that he was guilty of. To them, they thought it was blasphemy. He was guilty of claiming to be God. Well, the truth is that Jesus did claim to be God. But for Jesus, it was not blasphemy for him to say that he was God, because he was God in the flesh. And he was about to prove it to them, because even though they took his physical life and he truly did die on that cross, the good news is that he rose from the grave 3 days later, proving that he was God. And so we find here that Jesus in the upper room, and he's breaking the bread. And this is the first day of unleavened bread. That leaven always in the Bible is a picture of sin. And because this bread is a picture of Jesus Christ, of course, the bread could not have leaven in it, because the body of Jesus Christ had no sin in him. Also, since there was no leaven in the bread, we can be assured there was no leaven also in the cup. And the cup represents the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's how the alcoholic process comes there, with the leaven getting into it there. And so we know that it was alcoholic. It was not alcoholic wine that they drank there, representing the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you and I take of the Lord's Supper, which, by the way, this evening, we as an assembly here at Victory Baptist Church, earlier this evening when we had our service, we got to enjoy the Lord's Supper together with our first group of members here at Victory Baptist Church. What a blessing it was as we took the bread unleavened and broke it and took it, and then also poured the cup, an unleavened cup, which is the blood of Jesus Christ, and shared that testimony, that memorial that we are to celebrate. Now, I want to take you on from the 14th day onto the 15th day. This is the day of preparation. This is what we call the High Sabbath. This is what some people would actually truly call the Passover. This is the day that you take the body of that lamb and take its life from it, something that was innocent, and take its blood. While they were doing that, when they were taking Jesus Christ on the 15th day, his trial came to an end. He was found guilty of blasphemy, of claiming to be the Son of God. And for that, he was certainly guilty of claiming to be God. And they crucified him for that crime. And they took him up on Calvary's tree and they put them there. But there was a problem that day. It was the High Sabbath. It wasn't the normal weekly Sabbath, which is on the Friday. This is about a Thursday or a Wednesday, depending on how you look at your lunar calendar or solar calendar. And so here Jesus Christ is going to be executed on this day, but within a few hours, the Passover is going to happen. And so as Jesus is on that cross, he is there. The Bible tells us, take your Bible if you would. Let's look at this passage here. I'll get to it in a moment. My notes are all over the place there. And bear with me here. Look at verse in Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27 in the New Testament. The Bible tells us in verse 45, now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over the land until the ninth hour. Here we find that while Jesus Christ hung on that earth. Now, the sixth hour of the Jewish day was high noon. This is when the sun would be at its highest apex of that day. But instead of sunlight beaming down across the land, darkness fell upon it. And it wasn't an eclipse. This lasted for 3 hours. Phlegon, one of the Roman astronomers, recorded that strange event. And he said it lasted for 3 hours. He said, for the day was so turned into night, the stars appeared. And so at this moment, at the zenith of the day, Jesus is on the cross and darkness falls upon the earth. But at the end of that ninth hour, we find in verse number 46, Jesus says this. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I'm here to tell you, Jesus was under great torments when he was on that cross physically. To endure the suffering on the cross physically was a great challenge for any human being to endure. But not only did Jesus suffer physically, he was also suffering spiritually. There's a spiritual battle going on in the heart of Jesus during that time. No doubt the devil probably tried to hurl his best, thinking this was our opportunity to kill God, to defeat God, to bring an end to the one that they see as their enemy. And no doubt also Jesus was also dealing with another struggle spiritually. He was bearing upon him the sins of the earth, not his crimes, but your crimes, my crimes, our crimes, the crimes of humanity was laid upon Jesus. And he bore them to pay a debt that we owed. And Jesus bore them on that cross. And we find that when he died in chapter 27, verse 50, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent from twain, from top to bottom. What a feat that must have been to have had the Holy of Holies finally exposed. Only the high priest could come in with the blood. He was about to come in with the blood of the Paschal Lamb to sprinkle upon that altar. But now man had opportunity to see within the Holy of Holies. Why? Because Jesus paid the sin debt. It was his blood that was flowing just outside of the temple. And that is the blood that purchased the salvation of many. And so that was the 15th day, the crucifixion. And just as the time that they would be killed, that Jesus died, was being executed, the Passover lamb would have been killed and his blood being prepared to be brought to the temple. You remember how the Passover got started? It was the blood that brought salvation for anyone who trusted in the blood. If they took the blood and applied it to the post, to the doorpost of their home, didn't matter who lived inside, didn't matter if you what creed or what race you came from, didn't matter if you were rich or poor, whether you were smart or dumb, good looking or like me, it didn't matter. No matter what your circumstances there, if the blood was applied, the only thing God was looking for was the blood. He wasn't looking for what was inside. He was looking for the blood. And if the blood was put there, judgment would pass over them. I'm thankful for the blood. And on that 15th day of Nisan, the blood was shed. But I now want to bring you to the 18th day, which is today, Easter Day, and we're almost done. On the 18th day, this is also a day of celebration in the Jewish calendar. You had the Passover, you had the leavened bread for that week, but there would be a final feast that would happen at the end of that week, the 18th day of Nisan. We find this teaching in Deuteronomy chapter 26, and because of time, I won't take the time to go there, but you might be interested in reading about this. It's the Feast of First Fruits. What would happen on the day of first fruits? Someone who was within the household and given the honor of working there in the temple as one of the priests, it would maybe be his selected year to serve in this high duty, to be the one to go out into the fields and collect the first fruits and to bring that basket of first fruits into the temple. So early on Sunday morning, no doubt out of the duty of tradition, a high priest got up early before the sun had dawned, and he began to do his ablutions and his cleansing and put on his vestments of his priestly robes. And he would then make his way, open the door to the temple and make his way and meander his way through the city streets, out of the city and into the field. About the same time that he was doing that, another person was up that Sunday morning. The Bible tells us her name. She was Mary Magdalene. And Mary, as she got up early, she began to bring together and put together ointments and spices for a burial. And then as she left her home with her ointments and spices there, she found some of her friends, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome, and Joanna, and the group of other ladies. We're not told their name. And Mary and these other group of ladies found their way through the streets to where the tomb where Jesus was laid. No doubt they were probably thinking in their mind, I don't know how we're going to do it, but somehow we've got to persuade these Roman guards for permission to be able to roll away that stone, to ask them to roll away that stone, break that seal, so that we can get in to see the body of Jesus Christ and properly anoint his body for burial. No doubt this was very painful for them. No doubt they had no idea of what was ahead for them. But as the priest was making his way into the fields, Mary and her group of ladies also were making their way to the tomb. When she got to the tomb, she made a terrific discovery. She didn't understand what was going on, but she knew that the door to the tomb was rolled away. And as she looked in and inspected, there was no body of Jesus Christ. Oh, she was worried maybe someone had taken the body of Christ and stolen him. And she wondered what she was going to do about it. And then she's visited by the angels and tell her to go and rejoice and that Jesus is risen, and to go and tell the disciples. And you know the story. During this time, the high priest would go to the field. And he would reach down and he would look into the ground in the field. And no doubt the barley was starting to come up at this time of the first season. And you and I are doing it today. We look out over the fields and we're beginning to see life coming out of the ground. You know the seed, that the life that comes out of the ground? If you know your science, you know that a seed is put into the ground. And there's a germination process that goes on. And what happens is that it must die. And when it does die, life springs forth. On this day of resurrection, as the Jews celebrated for many years on the 18th day of Nisan, they would go into the field and they would look for life that was coming from that which was buried and dead. And they would look for life, for new life. And they would pluck up that new life, pluck up those sprouts of new life that was coming out of the ground, put it in the basket, and take it to the temple as a celebration of what God had done, of bringing life out of death. On the very same day that the high priest was doing it, Jesus was bringing life from death. Oh, what a joy it is to walk through the week in the harmony of the Bible and see all these Old Testament principles and how they were laid out as pictures for us to look at what Jesus was going to perform for us on that week of crucifixion. And I'm thankful this day that we have a Savior that is risen. And because he is risen and because he has conquered the grave, you and I can have hope that there will be a resurrection for us one day, and that we too will conquer the grave through Jesus Christ. What a glorious thing Christ has done. Not only has he purchased our salvation, paid the debt for our sins, he's also given us hope, that there is hope, that there is life after death. Some of you are mourning because you've had lost loved ones who have gone on ahead, but you have a hope that you'll see them again. And you only have that hope is because Jesus was risen from the grave. What a great thing it is for us to remember what Jesus Christ has done for us. Shall we pray? Father, I thank you for the Holy Word of God, and I thank you for the gospel message. It's beautiful to behold how all these things that were practiced for thousands of years by people, that you had shown to them what you were going to do, and sadly, some people miss it. Even though they're familiar with all these rituals and all these traditions, and they were caught up in these traditions, and they've missed the beauty of what was happening on that resurrection day, where the first fruit, where that which was dead has risen from the grave, and new life has begun. And I'm thankful that we have that hope through Jesus Christ. And as we celebrate this day, Resurrection Day, I pray, God, that our hearts would be filled with joy and that we would share this gospel message with those who desperately need it. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.